Welcome to a bonus episode of Moms and Martinis. This week, I am joined by my good friends, Casey, KK, and Mr. Calhoun. Lately, I've engaged in several conversations with women who have a very clear outline of their expectations and their requirements of the men in their lives and what they want for them to bring to the table. So I continue to ask this question, ladies, what are we bringing to the table? So in addition to finding out what myself and my friends say that we're bringing to the table, we're also hearing the perspective of Mr. Calhoun. In discussing this, I thought it would be equally important for us to talk about the baggage, right? So we have to acknowledge the baggage that we bring along with us and really talking about whether or not we are unpacking that baggage before we set the table, or are we lugging those things with us until the next relationship? So hear what it is we have to say, and afterwards, please leave me a comment and rate the episode on Apple Podcasts. You can also send me a direct message on Facebook and Twitter at Moms and Martinis and on Instagram at Moms and Martini Podcast. Yeah, so go ahead and send me a message there. And if you would like, you can send us an email at momsandmartinispodcast@gmail.com. Now, because this episode is so spicy, the martini of the week is the spicy porn star martini. Yes, I said it. Now, this is really delicious, and I think it's something that you should try. So what you will need is 1.5 passion fruit, okay? Now, we are in quarantine, right? Stay-at-home orders. So I just use Welch's passion fruit juice. It was on sale for like $1.50, so I use that. But if you have the fresh passion fruit, if you're able to get to a farmer's market or if your local grocer has it, then you can definitely use the fresh passion fruit, and you just want to scoop the seeds out, and you can squish that if you have the presser, and that's going to give you that nice juice. And passion fruit is so delicious, but like I said, I'm using Welch's. You also want to take about 2 ounces of vanilla absolute vodka. I mean, you don't have to use absolute, so I'm just going to say vanilla vodka. And then if you want to be a little jazzy, you want to take like 1/2 ounce of the Pursuer liqueur, and you can get this, it's at your local like package store, and it tends to be over by like where the margarita martini mix, where they have like rum and those type of like syrups and mixers. You can find it over there, and it gives you like this tropical taste. It's really good. You can drink it by itself, but in this case, I'm adding it into my porn star. You want to add some vanilla syrup, right? You can do that or make it. And I take a little bit of pineapple juice. Put all of that, of course, in your shaker with some ice, and you want to strain it. Now, if you are using the fruit itself, make sure you strain it twice to really get those seeds out. You don't want that. You just want it to be smooth. You don't want it grainy. But again, I was just using regular juice, so I just put it in some ice, shaked it up really good, or shook it up really well, and poured it into my cocktail glass. Now, here's the thing, right? We're talking about the porn star. What you want to do is get you a shot of champagne to go on the side. You can use whatever type of champagne that you have or you like. I had like a little small bottle of Moet, so I added that to the side. I've just been holding on to that bottle since like New Year's. So I had it, but you want to make sure that you are serving your champagne or whatever like sparkling wine that you have. It needs to be really, really cold, and you want to put that on the side. So as you're getting that fruity taste of that martini, and you hit it with that shot of champagne, it really helps to cleanse your palate. And when I say this is good, good martini drinking, it is good stuff, people. So try it out. We don't discriminate against the martinis. We're trying to elevate you in your martini game. So this is one for sure. So the next, when we get off punishment and we can go outside again, when you're out at your favorite restaurant and they ask you your drink order, order yourself a porn star. All right, so let's make a toast. So this week, we are toasting to unpacking baggage, adding value to the table, and owning our shit. So let's toast to that. Now, P.S. This episode here has strong adult language. I know I'll be dropping some, you know, some cursing up in here. But this episode right here, this one right here, strong adult language and very mature content is used for this episode. So just be mindful of that if you're listening, if you have kids around, or if you are just like too holy for a sinner like me and you're going to be clutching your pearls, you may want to holler back. But if you're here for the shits, then stay tuned.
Welcome to Moms and Martinis.
Here's where we discuss the obstacles of motherhood, love, careers, and the roller coaster called life.
We are here to share our insights on different topics, all while enjoying our favorite adult sippy cup, a martini. Why? Because life is always better with a martini.
Shaken, not stirred.
So welcome back to a bonus edition of Moms and Martinis. And this week is interesting. We are going to talk about relationships, something that is, I think this will be our first relationship episode on Moms and Martinis. And I'm super, super excited to be joined by a host of wonderful people, people that I like to call my friends. And we're going to talk about relationships in terms of setting the table. We hear this phrase often, what do you bring to the table? So we're going to talk about this table, what we're bringing, what we're offering, how we set the standards there. But before we get started, I'm going to have my special guests introduce themselves. So let's go ahead and kick it off to my first guest, Casey.
Hey, I am Casey. I'm 35 and I am separated.
Hello, I'm KK. I am 33 and I'm single, in between relationships.
All right. So we got to talk about what that means, single, in between relationships. And our repeat guest.
Hey, this is Calhoun. I'm 39 and I'm just fucking. So.
All right, so that's it. And of course, everyone knows I'm Kira. I'm 39 and single, and by single that means I am exploring my sexual options. So
yes,
get around. So that's why KK, you said, and I'm gonna come back to you, Casey. KK, you said you're single. What does that mean? Because single means things differently nowadays.
It does. I honestly, it's a case by case basis. I could be single and in a situationship. I can be single with friends with benefits, you know, type situations. I could be single and just fucking, or single and dating. So it's a plethora. Just, it's like I said, it's case by case. Because I can meet the guy today and we have a situationship, but I'm still single. Or I can meet, you know, a guy tomorrow and we just fucking. So, you know, it's case by cases.
Casey, all right, so you say you're divorced. I'm divorced also, but outside of divorce, how would you classify yourself? So if a guy is interested in you, how are you classifying yourself to them?
Well, I'm not officially divorced yet. I'm technically still married. That's why I said I'm separated. But it's been almost a year, and I think me and my husband both are dating other people. But I'm not looking for anything serious right now because I don't want to get somebody else caught up with technically somebody else's wife. Mm-hmm. So trying to keep going out of it until my divorce is final.
Ooh, that makes the perfect segue. So Mr. Calhoun, of course, we're best friends now. However, when he and I met each other, started dating, I was separated and my divorce was not final. So Mr. Calhoun, what's your take on dating a woman that's in the process of getting a divorce?
Well, one, it sounds like everybody's single and fucking. I heard everybody nicely go around that. That's why nobody vilified what I said, because everybody did. They came with all of the extra shit and just said to say, I see the situation shield, see the free benefit. Single and fucking. That's what that is. Single and fucking. It depends on who you is, and you might get this twat. That's what that
you
means.
You know what?
All the way around for single and fucking, and then Casey came so well done.
I'm just
we are dating single and fucking. And that's what she's talking about as well. So we're all here single and fucking. Then here come Miss Kira. I explore my sexual knowledge, single and fucking. So none of that's out the way. The question was, how is that? I think that's a smart thing to do, Casey, taking your time. Be careful because you might run into a guy who's like me, who's just lovable. And then next thing you know, he's putting his goddamn spoon in the stew. And you want to be careful with that, right? So yeah. I think it's very, it's mature and it's wise to do because we was fresh in. Kira was fresh on the separation when we started dating. And there were some things, I mean, she was an amazing woman, so we was able to conquer a few hurdles, but there were some hurdles that was put in place there. Mm-hmm. Just like anything else, you want to, before you move on to something else, you want to finish what you start. So it's good to finish it before you start something.
But there is a saying that says to get over one man, you get under another. So
that's an old whole saying.
No, well, for men, most men do that. Most women, let's just be real. Women are the ones, we'll break up with you, we'll take our time, we'll grieve, we'll cry, we'll be mad, we'll be hurt, and some of us will take our time to heal and repair. You know what I mean? It's the men that as soon as the relationship's over, they trying to holler at the next chick like 2-3 days after the fact. If they wasn't already talking to something else while they was in the current, in the relationship. So that's not really true for women. I think that really goes for men. But like me, when I got my divorce, I was single for like a year maybe, or almost a year before I met my boyfriend. And I was still legally married. I was in Casey's position. Because my ex-husband wouldn't give me a divorce. He wouldn't give me a divorce for 3 years. So, and that's how long I was with my ex. And he was with me through all of that. So, even when we went to go file the divorce, it got finalized and all that. So, I think it's just different.
So, Calhoun, you think that men do that more than women? Or do you think it's just general?
Hell no, I think it's general. Especially this day and age. This has never been the case back when women were women, back in our parents and grandparents' age. But in this Tatiana, I see all the good looks. That's what I came from. But in this whole Tatiana, I'm a savage, and all this other shit that's going on, no. It's a lot of hoeing going on.
Mm-hmm.
We both know this. Every guy who I know that, well, for the most part, there are some who jumps right in, but everyone takes a break. you know, just jump right in. That's a lot of healing that has to be done on both sides.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. For instance, since you and I haven't been back into a relationship. And it's been about 4 years.
But there have been candidates that I've encouraged you that I think that you should have moved on.
Well, that's because we're friends, of course, but that still was, you know, they have big shoes to fill.
I can't thank you for that, though.
I don't just have good dick. I also got a good mouth on.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah.
I cannot brace y'all for what y'all were looking for. Okay. I tried to tell you, but now you're
wrong and unfiltered. I can dig it.
Okay.
But I do think there is a point too, because we do handle love and relationships and breakup differently, men and women. And we do go about things in totally different ways. So in some cases men do, in some cases women do. It's case by case.
Right. And Casey, being that you're in this
niggas get long. Here's what y'all don't know. Niggas get lonely, too. Nobody says that. So when niggas get lonely, they're looking for someone else in that bed.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So that's why you getting under. You getting lonely. We ain't just going. We don't have
to. How to be lonely. Some men cannot. My ex is one. Cannot be alone. They can't be by themselves. They have to be with somebody. They have to be in a relationship. Have to.
Yeah.
They can't. And I think that has a lot to do with self. But, yeah.
Okay, so now that you're in this situation present day, do you feel though that saying is accurate, or is it no longer applies to modern day 2020?
I think for me, and that's all I can speak for, I made a conscious effort. So without getting, I guess, into the details of my marriage, I was emotionally detached long before we finally broke away or whatever, however you want to call it. But even though, after that, though, I still made a conscious effort, like, not to reach out to anybody. Nobody except my immediate family knew that I was separated, because I wasn't ready to talk to other people and things that nature. But after about 6 months, you know, I don't know if it was because you start getting lonely, or you do want attention, or you do want somebody to go with you. I put it out there that, you know, I was available, and I've been having fun since.
Right. Oh, so she's been fucking ever since. That's what she said. Then she gonna say fuck, but y'all know how to dress up fucking, boy. I've been intimate ever since. It's been a beautiful night ever since.
You acting like I'm telling a lie. It's fucking not fun.
Well, you know, yes, it is. If done properly.
So there you go.
All right, so KK mentioned that when women are in a relationship, that we somehow embed this time in to really allow ourselves to heal. But just thinking about all the people that you've dated, I think everyone comes with baggage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's do a transparent moment here. Let's give some baggage. What's in your bag, right? So we're talking about setting the table, but sometimes we got to unpack the bag in order to set the table. So who want to kick this thing off by telling us, what's your baggage? You don't have to give it to us all. Let's give us like one or two. All right, so
I have daddy issues, in a sense that I was raised by my mom, and I don't know, I guess, how it translates into my relationships. I don't 100% know how to respect the man the way the man deserves to be respected, and I don't know what his place is in my life naturally. So it takes me time to kind of figure that out, and I'm still something that I'm still working on. So like
that. Well, at least you recognize that and you know it, because some people in denial, they don't even realize it. They don't even know it. So the fact that you know, you halfway there. You know.
Yeah.
Well, more than that, believe it or not, you're not alone in that either. That's most of our community.
Right.
We have most of our households, speak on parent households. That's usually what goes on, which leads into a lot of the stuff that I've been saying when dealing with women, especially black women. Because a lot of times that's how we've been set up. We've been set up in it. The father's been out the house, and it's everybody's fault in that. But I think most of the blame should go to the e-crackers. I think that's who crunked this shit up.
Of course.
I mean, that's who crunked it up. That's who structured this whole thing. Now, we're dealing with the aftermath of and having to deal with it as black men and black women. But them crackers are the one who created this.
Right.
So what you're dealing with is something that we as a community is dealing with.
Mm-hmm. So now that there's a level of self-awareness, not only within the community, like this is something that's talked about holistically around the globe, especially in Black families. And even now, Casey is aware of it within her own circumstance. What are we doing to change it?
I think knowledge is power, because a lot of people don't look at the history of it. Like Mr. Calhoun stated, it started with the white man. This happened long ago. With the Jim Crow stuff, even before then, like they were the staple that broke black families apart. They would take a black man, emasculate him in front of the masses, in front of women, and that's where it all started at. So I think now for people to learn the history of why the way we are, educate the next person so the cycle doesn't continue, because the chain got to break somewhere, and you can't break it unless you know why it's there. You know it's a chain, and it has to be broken. So I think that's where we got to start, in my opinion.
It's interesting you say emasculated man, but if you listen to what Casey's saying, it's like it's hard for her to find a place, and she said respecting a man. And I know that the challenge that I had in my marriage, just constantly challenging everything that was put in front of me. So I think, do you think that we are emasculating our men? Like we, y'all saying the white man started it.
They did.
Because
we were trained to do that. When they would take that slave and whip that slave in front of the women, or make a slave do, take a black man in front of his family, in front of his woman, and emasculate him and do whatever he did to him. In our minds, that programmed us back then. That's what started it all. It set the tone back then, and then it just continued. It continued throughout history. And then that's what we have present day.
So that's the example that was set for you? So Casey nod her head, yes. What about you?
No, I was saying that I agree with Kay in terms of the solution of knowledge being power, but I think more so what you said is once we recognize, I mean, because that's the past and we can't really do much about that. We can do much, you know, we can affect the present. So like you said, I would be more cognizant of how I speak to my next partner. I think that I have a level of guilt because I was not able to maintain my marriage. So now my children are not in the same situation because their dad is there, but we're not being raised in a household. So I think women and men as well should just be more cognizant when they're choosing people who they have kids with. You know, is this somebody that I can stay with and build with and try to make a family unit that lasts? So those are things that we can do today to kind of break that cycle the way Kimberly was saying. Yes, you need to know why things are the way that they are, but you have to also take action. And I can do that with my work. I can do that with the way that, like I said, it's too late for me. I don't plan to have no more kids. But I can continue to encourage, you know, or foster my children's relationship with their dad outside of the home, and make sure that they, you know, have a relationship with him and he is a presence in their life.
All right. Mm-hmm. That's good. What about you, Mr. Calhoun? What's your baggage? Because I know I've said we unpacking it, but that's what we also bring to the table is our baggage. What are you bringing?
Well, before I name what's my baggage, you mind if I come in on what the sisters just said?
Yes, go ahead.
The thing that is very big, and I think we learn that stuff in our 30s. It's a shame we don't learn some of this in our 20s. And then we could build these long-lasting relationships. We have to go through these things to get to these points, right? And to be this mature. And as a man, you have to understand how that affects us as well, which isn't said, because most men don't communicate those different things. That pushback, that disrespect, that is so frustrating. And it adds to every facet of you dealing with that woman. That's how your woman become a female, or that woman become that bitch. If I say up, she say down. If I say left, she say right. Man, I want to fight all the time about every fucking little thing. It'd be every little thing, right? And then it creeps in everything else. Why he's not romantic? Why he's not talking like this shit? Why he doesn't do this? Why is he not doing that? Some of that stuff is a pushback, and it creeps into, right? So if you're not feeling that respect, then that's just as big to us as the, you know, y'all feeling that love and that voice, right? She wants to be heard. She needs to be nurtured. She wants to be taken care of. She wants to know you care, right? He wants to know that stuff too, but respect is high on that list. So when it's not there, that causes us to do all these kind of things. That's when it's hard to break those chains. And that's all by design as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my point of view on that. Now, as far as my baggage goes, I don't have much baggage. And I'll tell you why. You know, I don't give a damn. Everybody tilted their head. Tilted some over here. I don't give a shit. Everybody look like confused dogs. Like, what? It's not by me. It's not because of my design. I have my faults. But the women that I have had the privilege of being in their presence, they've taken care of me in ways that even I didn't understand. And so as green as I was, even when I was very green, and when I thought I had all the answers, I didn't. And when I thought I knew what I was doing, and didn't. And when I, you know, when they could have gotten me, they never did. So I never been one who cheated. They always been up front. They love me to the best of their abilities. Now, I haven't always been loved the way that I needed to be, but she did try to love me, and that's all of them. They all have tried to love me to the best of their abilities. But if I had to pick some, I would say, like, I need to hear certain words. I hate that love language thing, but love language is words of affirmation. I have to hear it and make up the breakup. Like, that's, I bring that to the table, like, ASAP. You break up with me 2 or 3 times, I'm going to be out the door. I'm not going to be the patience and let's talk and let me chase you down so we can fight and all that shit. I'm not going to keep doing that. So I think that may lead to me not working in that particular arena. Whereas I used to work very hard, now I'm going to work as hard.
Now, you talked about some of your past relationships and the women that you've been with that took care of you. Just for Casey and KK and the people listening, could you just recap, I guess, your experience with relationships so that everyone will have a better understanding of why you're saying that?
Good evening.
In terms of when you started dating and the number of serious relationships that you've been in.
That's a little strong. They don't let the listener know all that. That ain't none of their business. What they do need to know is the woman that I have been with, except for one, I will say. And she played a lot of games, but it just so happened for me I was smarter than her. That's not being cocky. She really wasn't smart. Her manipulation was terrible. Her game plan was horrible. And she was missing. And so, you know, so the traits that women usually have, like they're so witty, right? Like, well, I didn't even see that coming. With her, the bitch was like Steve Urkel with doing it.
Oh no, that's terrible.
Bitch doing dumb shit. You see right through it. I say women are master manipulators, and they've had to be over because y'all haven't had, you know, they didn't have their rights and power. So they developed some manipulation skills. Crying is one of them. And you cry at the end, right? Like that said, look how everybody looking. Because everybody got their tool bag. Only person didn't look was KK. I seen both of y'all looking like, this motherfucker called me out. But,
yeah, I'll be crying.
But look, now everybody tough. But but hers wasn't the way it's done. So when you do that crying shit, you lay that foundation. You do those words. You try to move. When it don't move, then you cry. Then you try to pray. Like, it's a way that it's skillfully done. It's a way to do it skillfully. This bitch come out the blue. Where were you? Bitch. Like, listen.
Oh.
I can't even use you like that. You can't cry. And then it's, well, I don't understand why you're asking me. So then I'm thinking immediately, like, oh, this bitch. You were just hooping and hollering, and now when I'm like, I can't hear you, you go right back to normal, that's not going to work. And so hers was just terrible. But as far as the other, it was careful consideration. And I appreciate them for it because they left me, I'm not going to say unscarred and unscathed, but they left me in pretty good condition. Like, I'm lightly worn, but I ain't worn out.
I hear that.
So you said worn, but not worn out. Okay.
I'll tell you this, and it's to all the ladies too, because we have to deal with that bullshit. After y'all pick some motherfucker that put them motherfucking city miles on you and drag your ass. We got to do, yeah, I know it. I hear you, Casey. I see you over there. I'm telling you, y'all have to be careful who you picking. Because you pick the wrong motherfucker and they put them drag miles on your ass. And then the next person got to spend the first 6 months, a year, 6 years, repairing, rebuilding, reassuring, reaffirming, doing all that shit. And it get tiring.
Yes.
Pick the right person who will help you. Y'all going to go through your bullshit, but pick the right motherfucker who going to breathe that life into your ass, man. You got a business. Huh?
You talking like we picking the wrong people on purpose.
Right. We don't. Guess what? They got a representative, and sometimes that representative be around for longer than the first 6 months. I'm telling you.
Let me tell you something. I'm gonna tell you like I tell everybody, because I say this whole thing I have about whores, right? Mm-hmm. If I think about whores, Casey's killing me with these looks. My thing about whores is simple. I be like, I don't want no whore. And then everybody say the same thing. Well, how would you know? If you don't know them, how would you know? I say, listen to them, ask the right questions, and listen to what they're saying. Don't bypass the red spots. And just listen. All you got to do is just listen and ask tough questions. It's going to take a while.
There you go.
It's going to take a while. Everyone had a representative. One thing you don't do, don't rush into bed with somebody, one. And two, listen to what they say and ask those imperative questions. And don't bypass red flag because he look good or the dick good or the money good. Don't let the shallow stuff, you know, fade you from what you need to know and what you need to hear. Y'all be looking at everything up. Why that nigga so goddamn charming? And did you know he bought me this? And did you know he did this, girl? He did. Oh, girl.
I'm sick of your ass.
Okay.
Niggas be straight up dogs.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he can be all that stuff. He know how to work you well because he's straight up dogs. It's the same thing with whores. You know who love a nigga better than anybody? A whore. She's a man, please. Mm-hmm. Of course you know how to do it. So the same with them. Just ask those questions and watch them. Don't jump in the bed. Don't give somebody what they want immediately. And you'll find out who they are. That's the difference. It's going to take some time. It ain't going to take that much long. You can't hide who you are for long.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Be with a motherfucker. You ain't never been to a house. Y'all been together 6 months. Why? You been with a bitch goddamn 6 months, and you ain't never been around her friends. You ain't never heard her talking to nobody. Why? What's going on? You ask a certain question, hey, I don't want to talk about that right now. And we ain't going to talk about it later. Why?
Come on,
even if you don't get the answer, you just get the reply. How many people you slept with? Excuse me?
Oh, I think this is Darren coming in. It says Walter. So, yeah. So, this is good. So, as Darren come on in the room, then KK, we're going to kick this question off for you.
Okay.
There he goes. Hey, Darren. I don't think his audio connected yet.
I ain't going to see him.
Yeah, he's on there by himself.
Yeah, he gonna be on the slide by himself because I can only see it's only four squares.
So. Okay. Hey, Darren, how are you? He's frozen. There you go, Darren. Can you hear us now? All right.
Don't you got your dick in your hand, nigga? Oh. Goddamn! Hit the button.
Hello.
Yeah. Hey, Darren.
Welcome to the chat.
Hey, what's up? How you, Kira? How everybody doing?
Hello.
So, Darren, you called us in mid-conversation. We are talking about setting the tables, what we bring to the table, and we're just really kicking things off. But before we get started, we've already let our audience know that you would possibly be joining us. Could you go ahead and let us know your name, your age, and your relationship status?
Darren, I'm 40, I'm married.
All right, and he is married. And let us know about your podcast. We've already mentioned it with Mr. Calhoun, but tell people about your podcast.
On DigitalDarren.com, just a bunch of lifelong friends talking about sports, pretty much your barbershop talk, sports, Black experience, dating, stuff you would walk into here in a barbershop in the 90s probably, because it's unfiltered, probably offend every demographic in the world. You know, we use racial slurs, curse language, and everything. So, but it's the best way to classify it is barbershop talk. So.
All right, good deal.
One of the few places, where a man can still be a man.
Well, a man can be a man.
He's at one of the few places, too.
But if y'all don't mind, let me do that right. That's the founder of Digital Darren. That's one of the motherfuckers who one of the best men in the city. No. You understand? One of the greatest Black men walking this goddamn earth. My brother and my brother himself, goddamn Digital Darren. You hear the child in the background because he don't procreate it and don't build his legacy up. He's wife and child. He waited till he was married, of course, and then he got a wife and he got a child. And that's who that mother
is. That's dope.
Educated Black man, no felony. Tell him
he
all
set
the
you up for something. He said you up for something.
But now he's not setting him up for anything. Everything that he's saying about Darren is true. I will say, and I think I've shared this with Casey and KK, that I have had the pleasure of meeting some amazing Black men. And these are two of some amazing Black men. And I think that you all will see that today and hear that today. And hopefully the people tuning in will hear that and agree with that. But I think Darren and Mr. Calhoun are some of the top Black men that I know of. And I will stand behind it, bar none.
I appreciate that. But I do want to say first shout out to, you know, Kira, you know, co-host of the Moms and Martini podcast for letting us on. We always read these opportunities to cross work, you know what I'm saying? So as always, we're very appreciative of that. And if you're listening to it, you're doing a good job for listening to it. But check out on Mondays. They have a new episode every Monday. Check them out on every platform you can think of.
All right. Go ahead, D. I appreciate that. I can't pay you for that, but thank you.
You know everybody, we support the sisters. You hear them over there. You think we'll support the sisters?
I know y'all support the sisters. All right, so Darren, before you join in, what we were talking about is we always talk about what we bring to the table or what we want the other person to bring to the table. But one of the things that we recognize is that we all have some baggage, right? Most of the times we need to unpack that baggage before we come to the table. And then oftentimes we are bringing the baggage to the table. So everyone is talking about their baggage. Casey talked about hers in terms of identifying a place, the placement of the man in her life and in her household, being able to show appropriate respect. Calhoun really didn't say he had baggage. What was your baggage, Calhoun?
My mouth, you know, my attitude. I have a mouth and an attitude on me.
Well, no, I say Calhoun. So I'm going to speak to Calhoun's entire to myself, man. Let me go, because I'm trying to do like three things at one time. I think with us, it's past and probably expectation of women that's been set forth by great women in our lives. Ooh. So like how we view our moms, our sisters, women in the neighborhood who've been, you know, instrumental to us, Quanda Bentley, Miss Cookie Bentley, Miss Gwen Lucas, and just others, great women, you know, we expect that kind of women of our generation to be just as great. And you know, part of that baggage is just looking at them kind of, they're older than us, and so like we look at those, we look at them through certain eyes that we look at our peers through, that we shouldn't look at our peers through. And I think that gives us the false perception of what a woman should be, because I'm sure it's people who are in those women's age range who, you know, were annoyed by and frustrated by and stuff like that. And so I was saying all that to say that, you know, sometimes what we look at for women who are older than us, we need to cut the women our age from slack. And I think that I've brought that into my previous relationships. And I think Calhoun has too. That's probably a good way to get started.
Yeah. That's why I brought that nigga in. I couldn't say that. He damn right, though. That wasn't a problem. I showed him. I looked through them lenses, the rose-colored lenses. That's why that's my nigga, man. Go ahead, talk some more, man. I'm sorry.
That is true. Calhoun, you said it in so many words, but you also stated that, I guess you exercise a level of care and judgment in terms of entering into committed relationship with women, and the women that you have chosen to be in a relationship with have demonstrated, I guess, a good majority of those qualities, which in turn left you walk away from those relationships intact or greater than what it was when you came into them. And I think oftentimes we get into relationships.
You said a razor blade.
We come in one way and then we leave out, in some cases, less than how we entered. You know, it just bruises us up so bad. It's like, damn, I came in this bitch whole. Can I leave whole? Like, but sometimes you with somebody, as Calhoun was mentioning, he didn't say it so eloquently, but they do drag us through. And we end up taking that baggage into the next relationship. So, yeah, so that's good. So thank you, Darren, for putting that into words, and Calhoun. Now I'm going to move it over here to Ms. KK. Mm-hmm. Hey, what's the... Unpack it.
I think for me, my biggest thing is I know it's toxic, but I take the toxic aspects of my relationships with me, because most men that I've dated, even my ex-husband, they were all emotionally unstable. That's one thing I noticed across the board with everybody. So like when they were possessive, when they were controlling, when they were jealous, when they were like, you know, manipulative, or, you know, just, and to me, that became my normal. So I think when I start to, like, when and dating right now, when I date somebody and it's dating for, you know, with a purpose, I feel like if they don't get jealous, or if they're not calling me all the time or text me all the time, where you at, what you doing? It registers in my mind like, oh, maybe they don't care, or maybe they're doing something, because I've been programmed so much by my past that that's the norm, and it's really not. It's toxic as fuck, and it's not, I know it's not, you know what I'm saying, healthy, but I don't know. It's something I gotta unpack. So, yeah, I take, it's wild.
So does anyone have any thoughts on what KK just said in terms of, I guess, identifying these toxic behavior, associating those with, I guess, demonstrations of love, if I said right. That correctly? Anybody have some thoughts on that?
I do.
Of course. Of course.
Out there.
Well, one, to be able to identify that says a lot. A lot of people are doing that same thing that you mentioned and don't even identify that's what you're doing. This is a big deal. And again, like I mentioned with Casey, it's just that's where we are as a culture and where we are as a people. A lot of us are doing it. In the way that memes are constructed, and the way people act on social media, like that's what this. If he ain't doing this, then I don't want him. If he don't know how to handle me, then I don't want him. If he don't know how to, that toxic stuff that we're, it's just like in the 90s, right? When we glorify drug dealing and poor, right? In retrospect, your parents not being home, roaches and rats in the house, and y'all selling dope, it's not what you want to be. It's
right. Not
But we normalize things that are very descriptive. Damn, we know you got a family. Don't rub it in our face.
Mute that phone over there. Mute that mic. No.
He too busy on Pornhub and jacking off and trying to do a podcast. He got all kind of shit going on. Mute the goddamn phone.
Oh no, no, I'm outside watching kids. I'm sorry.
I will say this to that point, Calhoun, what you're about to say. I think a lot of that comes from in this. This is something I recently discovered. Growing up in my household, my father was in my life, and I have a stepfather, but he was an active stepfather. He wasn't one of those stepfathers like, oh, I'm just here because I'm married to your mama. Like, he came in and it was daddy. I mean, he still gave respect to my dad and allowed him to be a father as well. But anyway, it was a lot of stuff that went on between my mom and my stepdad. Now, financially, my stepdad, even my dad took care of my mom financially. My stepdad took care of everything financially. So I put a big, and Kira and Casey can't tell you all the time, I'm big on saying something about, you know, finances and about getting a dude with money or something like that. And I think that's where a lot of that comes in, because I'll meet these men, my ex-husband, ex-boyfriends or whatever, they can financially take care of me very well. But on the flip side, I'm dealing with the jealousy, you know, everything I just said, controlling aspects, you know, even abusive, emotionally and physically, you know. So I think that's where a lot of that comes from, just growing up in my household. Yeah, well, I wouldn't say my mom would do anything abusive, you know, but they argued a lot. They had a lot of arguments. My mom cheated, my stepdad cheated, you know what I mean? So they went through that. It still kind of tears on their marriage to today. They'd have been together 30 years, but you know what I mean? So I think that's what it has a lot to do with that, what I seen growing up. And it kind of molds me, and it's, you know, it's something it's a cycle I want to break, because I know it's not healthy to go into the next situation with, but I notice it now, you know, so.
That's the beauty of it, I think. And that's what's so big, and that we have to break those cycles. But as I speak to different people, and not just you, especially different women, different guys, I just had a conversation. I was with some friends, you know, Major and Quinn. There was like six guys in there. And all of them were breaking the cycles of being fathers, married, and being fathers in their household. That's something that they didn't have. But as I listen to all these different stories that's being told, it makes me that much more appreciate what I did have that I didn't even recognize. Now, I got it. I lost it early because both my parents died very early. But what they built and the foundation that they gave me, like anything else, when you're living in it, you think that this is the norm, right? And then I come to find out it's not the norm. So I think what's beautiful is I did have a loving parents in the household. My father did leave by his own. He was so gentle with my mother. My uncle was a house away. He was gentle with his wife. My sister's been married for over 30 years. And it's the same thing. The men, I grew up in a very very strict religion. Those men were very, you know, very nurturing and soft with their women. Like, I never witnessed domestic abuse. I never witnessed a man cursing out their wife. I never witnessed those type of things. I thought it was normal. That was not the norms. But those were all the men I was surrounded. Now, I ain't live up to all that shit, because I cuss a bitch out and drop up a goddamn dime. Yeah. That bitch rolled off the tongue so smooth. You understand what I mean? And I put a few adjectives to go with it to make it sting out. You stupid ass bitch. It make it hit just that much harder. But what I will say is, the examples that I had, and even the guy who's on the phone now with Digital Darren, how gentle he is and how he speaks, and hey, it's okay, whatever you want to do, all that kind of stuff. Like, they're real mates and real men and how they deal. So those are some of the things. Those are the cycles that most of us have to break. That I didn't even have to do. So it makes you have to, you know, work even that much more harder. I hate that we have to work that much harder. But what you're saying is, it's sad to say, that's usually the norm. And even the fact that you had a father in the house and a stepdad, that says a lot, because most women don't even have a man in the house.
Right.
The way Casey, who hasn't been talking at all, been just listening and getting the scoop on us, goes back to what she was saying earlier about not having a father in the house and some of the ways that impacted her.
All right. So all good information. So thank you all for sharing all of that. So now that we've talked about, I guess, the baggage and unpacking the baggage, this is the question. So just a little bit to add some context to this. I know Casey and KK through a travels group. All right, so we this is how we connected, through traveling, and KK reached out and said, are there any women that are in Atlanta? We replied, and then we just got together, and I don't know, it's like twin flames, kindred spirits, and we have been rocking ever since.
Hold on, I'm sorry. I know I'm doing that. I don't recall you saying what your baggage was.
I was trying to see him over that.
I recall that transparency moment.
I was trying to transition and skim over that, but since you want to know, I do have baggage, and I think that I have, don't be shaking your head, Calhoun.
Well, listen, I want you to be honest, because you do have an ex on the phone. So I'm telling you the truth.
What I will say is, yes, please keep me honest. Put me out there. I don't have a problem with that. And I'm glad that you're able to offer that perspective. I do think that a lot of the baggage that I had with you, I have unpacked that. And I have not taken that baggage with me into new relationships. Each relationship that I've been in prior to my marriage, I wasn't in a lot. My oldest daughter, I was in a relationship. The next relationship I got married was married 10 years. Relationship after that was with Mr. Calhoun. And then I've had two other relationships. Each relationship, I get better. So as I'm unpacking things, I'm getting better. And now you've been my friend in the last two relationships. The last one, I showed up. I earned 5 stars, okay? I think I did my thing. I didn't do a good job of choosing. But I did my thing in terms of showing up my authentic self and really unpacking things. So I think the baggage that I bring most, it toggles between abandonment and trust. And when I'm talking about trust, it's not necessarily trusting the other person. It's trusting myself. Trusting myself that I am making the right decisions. Trusting myself that this is the right person to be vulnerable with. Trusting myself to, which I'm not a naturally submissive person. So trusting myself to submit under the rule and guidance of somebody else. And that's something that's very difficult for me to relinquish. And it's like, what I've learned is that I take the people that I'm in a relationship with me, I'm not gonna say unknowingly, because now I know, through a series of tests to determine whether or not I'm ready to relinquish control. So, and that can be daunting. And so it's like, it's not necessarily them, it's more so me to say that I'm trusting my discernment and my wisdom. So KK talked about knowledge is power. Something that my father told me, who I think is a very wise man, he told me that knowledge is powerless. Knowledge only becomes power when it's applied. Applied knowledge is wisdom. And the goal is to become wise. So you have to apply the knowledge that you have. So it's just a matter of me trusting that the knowledge that I have and the discernment that I have, that I am applying it appropriately to the situation. So it's really a reflection of me and not the people that I'm with. And then it also goes back to Kay was talking about just attracting these things. If I'm attracting a certain type of person, that's a reflection of me. Because if you have a certain aura or energy or demeanor or conversation or mindset, those are the people that's going to be around you. And those that do not meet those requirements will automatically eliminate themselves. Mm-hmm. So it's trust within myself. I got trust issues with Shakira. I got trust issues with Kira. And until I clear that up, I'm not going to be whole for anybody else. So that's my baggage.
That makes you a girl.
You know I'm not fooling with you.
And your dad is so wise. Your dad is so good.
That's how I realized what my issues was. My mother asked me, she said, I want you to think about everybody you've been with, everybody you've been in a relationship with, what's the one common thing that they all got in common? I was like, they don't have nothing in common because they were all different. But when I really sat down and thought about it, I'm like, oh, they're all emotionally unstable. And she said, well, now that you recognize that, she said, it's something about you. It's something about your spirit that's attracting those spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all, those spirits are attracting each other. So you got to figure out why you are emotionally, you know, unstable, you know, yourself. And I'm like, I'm not, because I'm a Virgo. We think we're perfectionists. So I didn't think that that was wrong with me. So still trying to figure that out. But yeah.
I'm definitely a perfectionist. I got a problem. So y'all just pray my strength in the Lord.
Right.
You let Casey get away with saying nothing around here. Casey, you get in here too?
No, Casey.
I went first.
I got Casey and Darren outside watching the kids. So let's talk about, now we've got the baggage out of the way. So we're going to unpack that. Let's talk about what we bring to the table. Casey and KK know in the group I was talking about that I've asked this question probably like 3-4 times. Ladies,
yes.
What do you bring to the table? We got this long scrolling list for these men that we want. Mm-hmm. Well, what are you bringing to the table? Casey, you said you don't have a strong list.
I don't, because I guess to answer the question, what I bring to the table is I can take care of myself. Like, I can do everything I think women, like KK, are looking for a man to do for them. I'm used to doing, I do it for myself, even when I was married. Like,
can I say something real quick?
Huh?
The Darren one.
Can I say something real quick? I'm just going to jump in one quick. We all adults. Shouldn't everybody have to take care of themselves as adults?
That was a good one.
No, that's one of the things, like you were saying, like what other people bring to the table. And I'm sorry I'm doing cold face, but like, you know, that was one of the things women used to say, and it meant something at 21, 22, 23, but at 33, 34, 35, 40, like it start being, you an adult, you should be taking care of yourself, because you an adult, you know, women. But no, some reason.
You
I agree
are.
With you, and like you feel to them out at that point, but I agree with what you're saying. It's just, as everybody, we all should be able to take care of ourselves as adults, you know what I'm saying? So that's it.
We should be able to agree, but you'll be, it's a lot of adults who can't.
Hello.
My husband right now is like, there are plenty of people who are not able to take care of themselves, especially women.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that part, I feel like I'm stable. I feel like I'm open. I don't know. I feel like I'm a supportive partner.
All right.
My whole thing is the respect part.
So Casey said she's bringing, I don't want to say this incorrectly, independence to the table, being able to. So when you said you can take care of yourself, that's in terms of you are providing some level of monetary stability to a relationship.
Absolutely.
Okay. And then you are caring, open-minded, and give me, what else, Casey? I want to make sure I get this right.
I didn't say I was caring. I was supportive.
Supportive and all those things. All right. So that's what Casey's bringing to the table. She unpacked her bags. She got that check, right? Coat check is out of here. That's what she got on the table. KK, what you bringing to the table?
Me.
No, I'm just saying. You remember what's the show that used to do I Bring Me?
Bringing me in every single
The star, the show.
Right. My thing is this. Growing up in my household, I guess I have a more traditional sense, you know, so a more traditional values, I should say. I believe in the whole man being the head and being the provider and the woman being the helpmate. So I feel like I encompass everything that a helpmate is supposed to be. I'm supposed to be supportive.
Break that down, what that helpmate is.
Supportive of my husband. I'm supposed to make sure the household is taken care of and everything is straight. I'm supposed to, you know what I'm saying, make sure, like, basically everybody's good and make sure, you know, I mean, I'm, for lack of better words, I've been drinking this cocktail, so I'm kind of feeling it. But anyway,
so. She's going to bring the fetish. She ain't bringing shit on the cocktail.
Listen. I am a helpmate in every sense of the word, because that's what I saw growing up. That's why I say I feel I have traditional values, because that's what I've seen growing up. Granted, my mother worked for a period of time, but she hasn't worked in like 15 years at this point. So it's like I've seen like what a man's role, or in my eyes, what a man's role should be and what a woman's role should be. And that's how I operate. But, hold on one second.
Kay is checking on her Instacart.
Even Zoom didn't want to hear that.
My bad. I'm sorry, y'all. My bad. I told you I had a order coming in. I had to let them through the gate. But, that's what I feel like. And I bring to, you know, I'm independent as well. I'm just like, I agree with Casey, you know what I'm saying? And like what he didn't even say his name. He just called himself Digital. Is it really Digital Darren?
That's the name of the podcast, but that's D or Darren.
That's what he go by. Yeah. Hey, D, you still on the phone?
Yeah, he on the phone. Like this. I can't hear y'all.
Look, as soon as she start bringing up that bullshit, everything going wrong with the left. She said, let that bullshit over there. We were doing wait, just fine since she brought up that bullshit.
I gotta come back. It's not bullshit. It's true. I mean, granted, right now in my single life, I do take care of myself because, like Digital Darren said, I am in my 30s, so that's what we're supposed to do. But if I'm, you know, in a relationship with a man or married to a man, I feel like certain things need to be certain ways. I mean, traditional roles need to be played. And that's how I feel.
So I understand you correctly.
And it works for most men. It worked for my husband. You know what I mean?
Because I understand you correctly. You think that the man should be working. So we're talking about specific gender roles. So the man provides financially, and then you are to care for the home in terms of doing all of the cooking, all of the cleaning. If you decide to have kids, you're going to raise the kids. You're just, I guess, the homemaker.
Why would you bail her on that?
And that's what... I'm
trying to understand.
In my marriage, that's why what I did. Bail
her on that? You should let her
I'm not bailing her.
No, you're not. But that's what it is.
Once she said that shit, she ain't have no answer for none of that shit. All she said was, man needs to be provided, and I take care of everything, make sure everybody
good.
That's
what a helpmate is. Hold on, I gotta come right back, because I can't hear. Hold on.
I know you can't hear. It's that bullshit interfering with your connection. That's the problem. And then here comes Kira. Her want to make peace ass. You mean that you try to line it out for her. Let her hang herself. She said, first off, you said what you bring to the table. She instantly went to what he need to do. And he asked what she need to do. He asked her expectation. You said, what do you bring to the table? First off, nigga need to pay these bills. That first and foremost, then we can start talking about what I need to do. What you need to do? I just make sure everybody good. What that mean? Just everything.
Okay, he on your ass, girl.
I bring a lot of other stuff to the table. I do, but to sum it up, like, that's how I feel. I feel like every sense of the word of helpmate, that's what I would do. And
question comes back to the table. What do you bring to the table?
Everything. Me. So
name one specific.
Come on.
What Casey say? Supportive.
No, don't ask what Casey said. What you do? What you bring to the table? Mr. Darryl said, be specific. Line that out. Itemize.
I'm financially independent. I work. So, you know, now granted, if I were to get married or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
So you're not bringing that to the table, so we can go ahead and put that out of there. Give me an Excel sheet of what you bring to the table.
I might keep my job as a part-time, possibly. You know what I'm saying? But...
So you're not bringing finances to the table. That's one. So scratch that shit. You just mentioned you're going to quit your job if not go part-time.
Here's the thing.
So no finances. Already in the hole.
What works for some may not work for most, because I've met plenty of men.
And now you lollygagging and bullshit.
No.
We're not going about what plenty of men and all that shit. We're going about what you bring to the table.
Come on, Casey.
No, why y'all trying to save her? No. Let her say what she brings to the table.
Wait,
no.
I have a question. So, Kayla, like, what's the trade-off? So you want something that's very traditional, and you basically want to be a helpmate to somebody that sounds like you're very dependent on. And you said that the example that you have is your parents. And their marriage, no shade or judgment, but it has been laced with infidelity. So is that like... I can't reconcile that is your ultimate goal and your foundation, and you see how it works.
Well, I see how it worked for them, because infidelity happened in the beginning because my mom cheated on my dad with my stepdad. So
he was paying all the bills and got cheated on? No way in the fuck. You serious?
Yes. My mom cheated on my dad with my stepdad, and Right. So I feel like that's why it's been how it is. That's why I said every situation is different. Mm-hmm. Every situation is different. So I feel like it, well, okay, let me just take my marriage, for example. My husband was, he was that provider type. He wanted me. Don't do that. He wanted me. You know what I'm saying? He didn't mind. Like, okay, I did go to school while we were married. I went to school. I was trying to, you know what I'm saying? Did all of that, whatever, to get my degree. So he didn't mind me being at home. He didn't mind me. I don't have any children. He had a daughter. So when his daughter was there, I was primarily taking care of her while he was at work and while he was, you know what I'm saying? But I made sure the household was straight. I made sure he was good. It worked for us. That's what I'm saying. Certain things work for certain individuals and certain things don't work for other individuals. You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying to you is like, oh, you ain't bringing that to the table, but to the next man, he'd be like, oh, that's all I want. You know what I'm saying? So it just, what works for you works for you.
So again,
jump in there.
Again, what do you, for the third time, bring to the table? Not know men need to provide. Not know I seen my mama do. I asked the question. The question that was asked by Miss Pierre was, what do you bring by the table? Not all this bullshit.
I answered that the first time I said me.
So that's KK's answer. Oh, that's her final answer. You trying to unpack something that's what she says.
Wait.
I've already asked this question. That's
okay, hold on. Wait 1 minute, please. This is for all the men that's listening. No, we're not doing this shit because everybody keeps saying me and that ain't saying shit.
Well, I haven't responded.
It's on that man to figure out what it is about me.
See, she going all over the place.
No, date me. Get to know me. You will see what I bring to the table.
Hey, I was trying to hold you down, but I don't think that's fair right there. I think that we have to know. That's just like if you go for a job interview. And they ask for your resume, and you just put on there, I've had jobs, and I've been qualifications. And then you're telling them, well, hire me. And they say, well, why should we hire you? It's up to you to figure out why you should hire me. No, we have to know, like, what are your qualifications? What are the bullet points? What are your experiences? What are you contributing? The reason why we should entrust you. And in turn, the return on your investment, which is your time and your qualifications, we're going to pay you your salary accordingly. So that's what you're asking for in a relationship. So he's basically, I think when I'm asking, I'm going to say he, what I'm asking is, if you're saying, what do you bring to the table? Give us a snapshot because your resume is a snapshot. So what is KK's resume? Who is this?
My resume is this.
Why somebody should inquire to be with KK?
I'm a damn good woman. I'm going to tell you something. I'm loyal. Mm-hmm. I'm good with finances. Mm-hmm. I work. I'm independent. I'm supportive. I'm loving. I'm caring. I'm all of that. I love children. May not want to have any of my own, but I will love yours to death. You feel me? And be a good ass stepmama. Like, it's all types of stuff. I just can't. You know,
we got 9 qualifications that's out there.
You have an eye. She said a goddamn thing.
Another man could hear that and be like, shit, that's what I want. That's all I need.
She let off with 3 financial qualities that she's not going to use because she already told you she about the running of finances. That's the first place she did. That was horse shit. Then she said, and if you got some children, I'm a damn good stepmom. And if you and if you don't have children, I don't have any kids. So if you don't have children, then what? Because that don't even work.
What if I don't? Most men have children in this day and age. Most men do, let's be real.
Don't have kids. Calhoun don't have kids.
I can name you a plethora of niggas I know don't have children.
I'm sorry, you guys.
So you banking on if a nigga have kids so you can stay your ass at home?
I would still work.
That's AK's answer. That's KK's That's KK's
digital days, what he wanted.
She's full of shit. Digital, goddamn, analog David.
Okay. Okay, so look. That's KK's answer. And as right. she said, that appeals to
KK didn't give an answer. Interested
in. So Calhoun, you very opinionated on what the ladies got to say. What are you bringing to the table?
I want to first say this. KK didn't give a fucking answer. And we
She gave an answer. It just wasn't an answer that spoke to you because that's not what you were in a partner. She gave
Come on with the sisterhood, because you know bullshit too. Cause they can't see your face and everybody seeing the faces on you and Kira. Kira kept doing this. Everybody know that. Casey kept doing it. So everybody know her answer was bullshit. And that's why she kept going to me. All of me. I could be a coach. Me. I give you me. Everybody giving you me.
I don't give a damn. I'm riding with KK.
That's not one person in a relationship ain't giving you damn. That's the whole, okay, come on. What you asking me? What I bring to the table? Me. And I'm a good helpmate. That's what I'm bringing to the table.
Come on, Calhoun.
That's what I'm bringing to the table. What's good for the goose got to be good for the gander.
No,
me and, what you say? Well, who said that?
Casey. I said that.
What'd you say?
That's not how life works. Men and women are the same.
Oh, well. That sounds like a double standard. Is that what that means?
We're not the same. Double standard? Go ahead and answer the question, though.
That's not how men and women work. So men should be okay with women bringing little to nothing to the table?
Well, that's not at all what I'm saying.
What you saying?
I'm saying that statement that you made was good for the goose, good for the gander does not apply to humans.
Why?
Because men and women are different.
We are different, but shouldn't we all be, it should be fair, right?
That's that equality bullshit. Let me tell you something. Black women didn't start that woman equality bullshit.
Oh, she pop up out of nowhere. We haven't seen her the whole time. She pop up out of nowhere with the bullshit.
White women started that equality bullshit because those were the ones that was at home and didn't have no rights. Black women had rights. Our black men, we were with them. We were fighting the power. We were in the Black Panther with our men. Our men treated us as equals. That was a white woman's fight. So let's not do that. Talking about, women's empowerment, women's da da da. That wasn't a black woman's fight. That was a white woman's fight. Let's not get it misconstrued. They brought us in and tried to help with their fight. And some of the black women did jump in, but those were lost black women because we already had equal rights with our men. Our men didn't treat us less than. That was white women that was being treated less than. And they did that whole fight to get equality because their white men was treating them like, ugh. So, yeah. But anyway.
I do like about KK is she's very knowledgeable in our history. I must say, we agree on all of the black issues. That being said, she's black and white. We were in the trenches together. We were working together to make our house a home and to build our community. Weren't we? We were going hand in hand. She was working as a maid. He was working at the car wash. We were getting together.
Hello.
You know what I'm about to do. We were working together. And now here we are 2020, and she's saying with an educated, with a degree, and with more opportunity, and now she don't want to work. She want to lean on him.
Excuse me, KK. I was trying to warn you.
I know you are. I saw your face. I saw your face. Listen.
So here we are.
I didn't say I didn't want to work. I just said I am a man's helpmate.
Now hold on now. Now we was talking about.
You got to answer the question.
Hold on.
Answer out there. We can't debate her answer.
Listen, hold on. I'm coming. This is for.
Thank you, Kira. We can't debate it.
Listen, this is for the greater good. Okay, give me a minute. Thank you. Here's the thing. Here we are, the community with the most to lose and the less as far as what we have. And we're reverting to things that we never had in the beginning. It takes both of us to build, especially in an economy that we have now. Some of us, including myself, have been laid off with this corona stuff. before all this stuff happened, the economy is very volatile. Our housing market now, the average housing price is $280,000. Gas is going down now, but it was over $2. A gallon of milk is almost $4. Clothes are not what they cost. A car is $30,000. Our parents was paying $20,000 for a house. We're paying $30,000 for a car. You see? And so the whole thing of let's sit on her laurels and let's, I'm just going to play my gender role, because there's a lot that came with that. You want to talk about traditional values? Hold on 1 minute before you start, because you might as well be done. Before we talk about traditional value, are there traditional kind of women? Because modern women ask for traditional value. Are you waiting to marriage to have sex? Are you going to keep your mouth closed when he's talking? Is his word the last and the final say-so? When he tell you to do something, are you doing it? Are you putting up with him maybe having an outside family? Because those are the things that was happening. Maybe an abusive man. A man that's disconnected. A man that doesn't help at all with the house. A man that doesn't help at all with children. A man that's not even in the house. A man that may be somewhere else, and you going, well, as long as he come home, that's fine with me. Are you willing to put up with that? Because if you're not willing to put up with the bullshit that came with no traditional man, don't sit here and try to put up with the good shit that came with traditional man. Now, you asked me a question.
I agree. I do agree with that.
Yeah, I try.
I feel like today.
Hey, look.
Go ahead. Oh, hold on. My order is here. I'll be back.
Okay, good.
Hey, by the bed.
Get her order. Let's talk about Calhoun. What are you bringing to the table?
She better goddamn run. I am what she's saying she is, an ultimate helpmate. What do I mean by that? Hardworking man, right? I'm bringing communication. I'm bringing up, you gave me the greatest compliment, and no one has yet eclipsed it. When you said, I provide a space to where she can be open and honest and be protected in expressing her feelings, emotions, and communication. That's something that I do provide. I am someone who know how to love and have been trained how to love. Don't know what kind of quality it is until you experience it. As far as providing goes, I am an ultimate helpmate, and I will be a hardworking guy. I'm bringing my finances to the table. I'm not scared to share. I believe in one pot. We put it all in one pot, and we share and we communicate together. Not just love and loyalty, because I'm loyal to a fault. And you don't have to worry about being embarrassed in these streets. You don't have to worry about somebody hitting you. You don't have to worry about somebody coming in here lying to you. I'm watching Married at First Sight. This one nigga is a complete liar. Everything he say, he got to lie about it. You don't have to worry about nobody lying to you. You don't have to, and as far as someone else told me when we was together, and it was like, when something used to happen to them, it felt like your world stopped. And now, it don't feel like anything happens. Because it don't. Mm-hmm. And that's what you get with me. My world stops when something goes on with you. You become my favorite subject to study and to learn about. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. When I ask you, how's your day? I mean it. I want to know. And I want to know how I can help. I want to know how I can be there. I want to know how I can love you better. Mm-hmm. That's what I do. So not just finances. Not just emotional, not just me, but I bring all the things to help you emotionally and mentally and be a safe haven for you. And on top of that, good dick to boot.
Oh my God.
I'm gonna talk about that. Dick damn good. I got good dick.
Oh my God.
So add that to the table. You got loyalty, finances, communication, and good sex. What else could a bitch want?
That would be a great question.
Did you hear that question? That was a hell of a question.
I'm trying to tell you. KK is getting her groceries right now, but definitely love to. I would have loved to hear her response to all of that. So thank you all for everybody.
Oh, no, we didn't ask you. No, you didn't say what you bring.
I always keep trying to scam over this. Mm-hmm. What do I bring to the table? For me, I'm speaking for myself, and ironically enough, Calhoun, you can vouch whether or not the things that I'm saying that I'm bringing to the table, whether or not they're
true. Well, you vouch if I got good dick or not.
I'm not going to vouch on that, but I will vouch that you're not going to do that to me. You know how I get embarrassed. But everything that you said,
blink twice if I do.
Oh,
that was two. That was three blinks, ladies and gentlemen.
Blink twice. Really hard.
everything that you said is true, and it's something I'm very appreciative of that I was able to experience that. For me, what I'm bringing to the table is the ability to build with, right? So I have the ability to build. I know when I need to fall back. I've learned that. Versus I know when it's my turn to lead. And I think that under the leadership of somebody, that they know that sometimes that's a shared responsibility. I bring a level of spirituality to a situation. I bring a level of financial savviness to a situation. I bring a level of understanding the foundations and coordinates of family. I'm open-minded. I do create safe spaces for the men that I'm with to be open, honest, transparent, and vulnerable with me, that I'm able to cater to that. I'm one hell of a porn star, if you let me be.
Go on, sis.
Calhoun, blink twice. but honestly, I'm career focused. I think I have a really great sense of humor. I bring a level of intelligence, being intelligent. I'm smart. I have a sense of community, and I think that sense of community does layer over into the relationship in terms of being able to easily accept the things that come along with the person that I'm with, and the community that they have built. I'm open-minded, I'm adaptable, I'm sensible, I'm focused, I'm goal-oriented, I know how to
cook. Okay, not the whole resume, you're supposed to just be one sheet.
But I'm saying, I know that I bring these things, and I
can. You bring a lot to the table, and that's without a doubt, you're right. I would like to add to my, I am family, I forgot why I didn't add that. Very family.
Yeah, very much so. I know I bring a lot to the table, and it's not just lip service. I'm not just saying.
It's not just me. You're not just bringing me. I got you. That's beautiful.
Well, that is me. That is me. And I would say probably my number one quality that I would put is I have a level of accountability. Like, I own my shit.
Yeah, no, that's me.
I own my shit. So when I be messing up, I be like, look, I'm with the shits right now. Leave me alone. You know what I'm saying? Like, just give me a minute, because I'm not being reasonable at this time. And that's something that I've learned to do. I wasn't always like that. So, and I'm forever evolving. I'm always growing. I'm always, like, I'm really thirsty to become better. And I think that that's something that is necessary in a relationship. It's necessary. So it's important that I become better. And the more that I become better, then I can be a better spouse. I can be a better mom, a better employee, a better co-host, whatever it is, just a better overall friend, whatever it is. So that's what I'm bringing to the table. So I bring me to the table. So again, if you're interested, please slide into my DMs. Hashtag Operation Stepdad. Okay. It's true. I'm not making this up, okay? You know, our tagline on Mom and Martinis, we can't make this shit up. But follow me at Kira_ATL. Okay, Calhoun.
What were you saying, Casey? You were saying something.
No, I said I felt like I needed to go again. I think that's the short stick when you go first.
Okay, go ahead. Tell us, Casey.
No, I'm just playing. I just say ditto, Kira, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I
wouldn't say ditto because I don't think I bring that much to the table. I'm not gonna lie to you.
No, I'm not gonna toot your horn, but you do bring a lot. It's just a matter of you coming to self-awareness of what that is.
I understand it, but I do want to mention that the family thing, because family is big to me. I have a saying that I've always had, that the two most important titles a man can have isn't CEO, owner, or ball player. It's always been father and husband. Mm-hmm. And so a sense of family is very big to me. I can't believe I missed that one out. So I will say add that one to the pot. Now, with all these good things that I have, somebody surely from your fan base, she wanna take a ride on, you know.
Look, I'm gonna put it out there.
No, don't put it out there. Don't do it, because I know where you're going.
I'm gonna second that motion. I always advocate for you. I always advocate for you. I do. And I be mad at these hoes that get their shots and mess it up. And you know that.
It says something when your ex speak highly of you, and we both do that with each other. So that says a lot.
I do. I was rooting for two of them. They messed it up. I'm disappointed in you ladies. I am. Disappointed.
Hoes will be hoes.
Oh my gosh. All right. So I think this is something that we should definitely, a conversation we definitely want to come back to the table on. I don't want to extend it really long, but I think this is, we could probably do a part two or just a continuous series just talking about these relationships. So in addition to, of course, unpacking our baggage and talking about what we bring to the table, of course, the natural conversation goes to understanding what are we bringing to the table, what we're asking for others to bring to the table. And we don't have another hour for that, okay? Because we have to be clear of what we're asking of others. So, and that's something I'm still like trying to figure out myself. What am I asking somebody to bring? I think I know, but I'm not doing a very good job of articulating and adding words and language to that. So I end up dating and having a lot of unspoken expectations that I place on people. And that's not fair to the people that I'm engaging. So we're going to have to make that a part too, because
we can do it now. Everybody said we did what we want, what we got. Now ask what you want to bring to the side. We'll be quick about it.
Let's start with cooking. We're going to have to cut this and make this another episode.
Well, these ladies have to go, don't they?
You won't edit it, ain't you?
No, but I said you got to edit it.
Okay.
Yeah, edit it. I'm trying to get the way out of here. You're trying to be quick with us.
Look. Okay, then.
We're making love. We ain't fucking.
Well, that's how we started off the episode. And I think that this is a great way for us to segue and end this episode. And we will stay on the line so that we can record part two of this. So we started off with everyone talking about their status. Calhoun so adamantly and passionately started off that he's single and fucking.
No, I'm single and looking for love.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Don't change it now.
Part two, I just want somebody to hold my heart. I want to help me.
Kay, he
so
on
we
your
got
head.
A type of one right here.
Okay.
Casey, I want somebody who can bring me them.
Stop. Okay, and then Casey, he started off with saying that she,
you know what?
And KK is single, and that the definition of that singleness vary just depending on the nature of the relationship. And
single and ready to mingle.
Yes, single, ready.
There you go.
And I am single and exploring. That's what I.
Yeah.
Shut up! Oh my god! I wish you all could see. We are recording this video, but you all are hearing the audio. Let me tell you, the facial expressions that have been going on. It's just been comical. So we're gonna go ahead and pause right here. We're gonna take 5 minutes I need to refresh, and then we'll come back and record part two. And the those of you listening, you get part two next week, so y'all gotta come back to hear the rest of this conversation. All right, thank you all. See what did I tell you? Oh my, things are just beginning to get spicy. Now, this is a bonus episode. It was so good and we were having such a great time that I decided to drop it on a Wednesday. What better way to celebrate Woman Crush Wednesday? Or is it Women Crush Wednesday? WCW? Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. So, of course, I need you to go out and follow these beautiful women. So, as mentioned, well, I don't think, no. Okay. Back it up. So, go out and follow my beautiful friends. So, follow KK at I am KKATL on Instagram. And if you are interested in following Casey, you can follow her at Oh, That's Casey on Instagram. And their information is going to be in the episode description. Also, make sure you are checking out Digital Darren podcast. Great podcast, ladies and gentlemen. And they talk about everything. You heard Darren come in with his cameo. Yeah, so shout out to Dee. Just talking about it. One of the places where men are allowed to be men, and I love to hear it. I love to see them in action, and the love there is real. So thank you all for tuning in for this week's bonus episode of Moms and Martinis, which is called Setting the Table. Of course, this is part one because with these cast of characters, we cannot just wrap things up in a timely fashion. So we had to come back with part two. So part two is going to be available next Monday. So you definitely want to tune in. You definitely want to tune in to part two. We had such a great time, but most importantly, had an even better time with you. So thank you so much for listening. Again, check us out on all listening platforms. And you know where to find us, Moms and Martini, and this is Kira. So I forgot to do this in our last episode, so let me do it today. So here is what curls your toes. This is to what moves your soul and pushes you closer to your relationship goals. So y'all go out there, unpack your baggage, set your table. And most importantly, ladies, what y'all asses bringing to the table? All right. Y'all making me look bad. Step it up.